Welcome to None of This Is Real,
the podcast for all things mysterious and weird.
I'm Doomsday Damini.
And I am Sarah Sinkhole. It's
from
me.
From Boca Raton.
You know what Boca Raton means? It means the mouth of the rat.
Rat mouth.
That sounds like an old name for, like, a disease. Ugh, she's got a bad case of rat mouth.
Or it's like, was it the place where people sent snitches?
Like Australia is a penal colony. Boca Raton was a snitch colony.
Oh my God.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the fact that you have on a retiree in Boca Raton outfit. We've got pink lipstick, flower in the hair. The wig is doing
it for me. It's a backwards one again. It's another backwards wig.
A backwards wig. You said it's the humidity.
It's the humidity. It's crazy on my hair. I've got rings on every finger. I've got fake nails on. I have on a muumuu and a robe.
A muumuu and a robe. You're killing it.
I'm a style icon.
I like it a lot.
I am a retiree. What some people, when I lived in Boone, would call a Floridiot.
Oh.
a person who moves from the north to Florida, and then in the summertime, they come to Boone. Well, they come to Blowing Rock. That's where the rich people live.
That's right. Oh, by the way, this is a random weirdness. We're just going to get really random and tell you like something
obviously
out of context, and then we're going to get out of here. Enjoy. But I was going to tell you that I showed Jay a picture of the Dandenongs because I could not get that word out of my head.
It's
specifically
a great word.
You saying Dandenongs, Dandenongs.
Oh no.
So I showed him pictures of it and he was like, well, it kind of looks like here. And so we looked at more places around the Dandenongs and there's a place called Hanging Rock. And I was like, wow.
That's
a lot of similarities to the place we currently live.
Wait, Hanging Rock? But I feel like that is where something scary happened.
Here, this one or the one in Australia?
The one in Australia. Picnic at Hanging Rock. Yes, that's a scary movie I watched one time. I don't know if it's real or not. It was creepy as hell.
Gosh.
All right, sorry.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of creepy as hell, really, can I make a recommendation really quick? I have so much to talk about on this short episode.
It's fine. It is going to be the longest random weirdness yet. And we're never actually going to get to the things we're supposed to talk about. We're just going to converse.
That sounds good. So,
talk amongst yourselves.
I just finished watching the first season of the show called Crime Scene on Netflix. And it is about this case that I have been obsessed with since it happened, the Elisa Lam case.
Ah, yes.
That happened when I lived in LA. And then I was like, I stayed at that hotel.
Creepy.
It is so fascinating and creepy and sad. So if you're
it's
into
very
that.
Sad.
Watch it to tell us what you think about it because oh my
sad.
Goodness.
Ooh,
anyway,
we just finished watching The Good Lord Bird, which I will highly recommend. Did I already recommend that? Because I'm obsessed.
You recommended it to me, but I don't know if you said it on the podcast.
It's amazing. Everyone should watch it. Ethan Hawke is a genius. John Brown is an amazing person. Just watch it.
Okay. I'll do that next.
So good.
All right, y'all. So, on this random weirdness, we're going to read you some of the emails you sent us. Plus, I have a short update. So, should I just do the short update really quick?
Yes, update me, baby.
Oh no, I don't have my source. Shoot. Okay, well, I mean, I have the
name. I am scandalized.
I have the name of the article. I just somehow accidentally deleted the author. I feel bad. But if you look it up, you'll see. So, I found this thing called Disney's Frozen helps researchers solve 62-year-old cold case, and you probably know what I'm going to say.
Okay.
No?
I don't think I do.
Well, they are pretty sure they have solved the Dyatlov Pass mystery.
Oh, what?
Yes. And so a bunch of researchers recently found more information that it was indeed an avalanche. It was an avalanche that killed them, and it was the way they had, like, I'm not sure of all these details, but they had like hooked something into the side of the mountain and the way that it pulled the snow on top of them was why a lot of the weird stuff happened. So I'm just going to read some little excerpts from this article to you.
Okay.
Disney's Frozen ended up helping some researchers solve this case. So basically, they looked at some of the technology that they used in the Pixar film to recreate the way snow acts, to look at how the Dyatlov Pass incident might have happened.
That's crazy.
And so if you don't know what that incident is, I'll just quickly tell you, which I'm sure most of you know, you turkey buzzards. A team of students and their instructor went missing on a mountaineering expedition in the Ural Mountains in 1959. So, and there was a lot of weird stuff, horrific ways that the bodies were found, traumatic injuries. And a lot of people were like, oh, it was aliens. It was infrasound. It was...
Oh, there's so many crazy theories. Yeah, so many wild theories, I should say.
A present-day researcher watched Frozen for the first time and was like, wow, the snow looks incredibly realistic. I want to know how they did that so I can recreate the Dyatlov Pass incident.
That's so cool!
And so John... Guame, I think, no, Johan Guame, it's G-U-A-M-E, of the Snow Avalanche Simulation Laboratory wanted to figure more of this out, and so he emailed the animators. He was like, hey, can you share this with me? And so he traveled to L.A., and he met with the specialist who was responsible for this on-screen snow movement. Wow. And they obtained a version of the snow animation code to make some avalanche simulations. And then Guame intended to figure out how avalanches would affect the human body. And right. So he ended up figuring out that the bodies of the people in the Dyatlov Pass incident were found with extreme injuries, including blunt force puncture wounds, cracked skulls, and it turns out that when a wall of snow hits a precise angle, that the ice can do that to you. Like,
oh,
it can
happen. God.
It can happen. So you can build a model, basically, to explain every injury that they had.
Wow.
And the displacement of the bodies could be the result of some of the students trying to drag their friends to safety instead of just abandoning the camp. And so there was just one quote from this researcher, Johan Guame. I hope I'm saying his name right. Not sure. But he said, people don't want it to be an avalanche. It's too normal. But it was an avalanche.
That's exactly what I was thinking. How many people are like, sort of disappointed that it wasn't aliens. And like, look, any story I hear where aliens are a suggestion, I'm always disappointed when it's not aliens.
Right.
Like, I get it, but at least we have an explanation. And then that could lead to maybe some more information that's like, hey, don't do this.
Right. Don't.
So that won't happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be grateful, even if it's not the most exciting solution.
It's still very, very weird. Like,
it's an awful story.
An avalanche, it's strange and awful. So
it's eerie. Yeah.
Eerie is a good, it's a perfect word for it. So I just wanted to let y'all know that because it's fascinating and it's cool that there was a researcher sitting there watching Frozen and going, that snow looks realistic.
I love it. Thinking out of the box.
That's right. And on that note, we're going to read you some of your own emails that you sent us.
Well, that just makes me so excited. The coming together of art and science. Just, ooh, I love it. I'm getting chills. All right.
I love it too.
On to the emails. I'm sorry. I just got so excited.
No, never apologize for your excitement.
I won't. God damn it. All right. I'm going to go first. I'm going to read an email from Frienda Linda.
Frienda Linda wrote us an email.
Linda, we love you so much. All right, and Linda says, hi, friends.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
As always, love the pod. The pod loves you. This morning, I had a Sarah Sinkhole moment. I was sitting outside with my cup of coffee listening to my audiobook, Come As You Are, while scrolling through Instagram. As I'm watching IG stories, I come across a post of someone taking a bath, and one of the captions said, bath time, which I read at the same time that my audiobook also said the words, bath time. This all happened while wearing my timelines are overlapping sweater.
Nice.
Linda.
timelines were overlapping.
They seriously were. It's the sweater. That's why you gotta buy our merch. It's magical, obviously.
Clearly. It'll make you have Sarah Sinkhole moments.
Everybody wants those.
Oh, no, I might have just dissed our merch.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We do open cat portals, and our merch does make you have moments. So sorry, but you're also welcome. All right. And she says, am I now Sarah Sinkhole? I think we will know if a cat portal opens up. I'll keep you posted, Linda.
She does have a cat, so if she suddenly has, like, an additional cat show up, then we'll know.
We'll know for sure, yeah. Linda, that was awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes, I love those moments.
You are me, and I am you, and I love you.
I think y'all would get along real well.
One of these days, we'll have to hang out.
Okay, well, I have an email from Spooky Charlotte.
Yes, Spooky.
If y'all don't know, follow Spooky Charlotte on Instagram because there's spooky posts about Charlotte. So yeah, why would you not want to follow them?
Charlotte is spooky.
It sure is. Okay, so here's the email. Hello. It's been a while, but I wanted to give you a new story as well as update you on some older ones.
Ooh, thank you.
So the first is Charlotte's spookiest hotel. I love a spooky hotel. Like I said, I stayed at the Cecil Hotel. So
yeah, you do love a spooky hotel. The last random weirdness, you talked about a haunted hotel room.
I sure did. The Dunhill Hotel opened in 1929 as Mayfair Manor Apartments. It is one of Uptown Charlotte's only remaining historic landmarks and is on National Registry of Historic Hotels.
Oh, wow.
The Dunhill has made a bit of a reputation for itself as Charlotte's haunted hotel, with guests often experiencing paranormal activity in the lobby, banquet halls, and rooms 906 and 401. Thank you. So now we know which rooms to request when we go on.
I would love to go there.
Friend date to the haunted hotel.
That's where we should go for our birthday trip.
Spooky Charlotte. That'd be fun. Okay. Guests have claimed to see a mysterious man with a limp, sometimes wearing a bellhop uniform, and a woman with knee-length dark hair walking in the banquet hall. Knee-length?
Ooh,
girl,
no.
That took
forever. That's too long for a ghost. I don't like it.
The hotel was actually abandoned from 1981 to 1987, and during that time, many homeless neighbors found shelter in the tallest building open to the public. There is no record of who stayed there during this time, which made things particularly tough when they renovated in 1988 and found a skeleton in the elevator shaft. Police reports say the bones belonged to an elderly Caucasian male who would have had a limp.
What in the world?
So that might have been the limping ghost.
Oh.
We stayed there the weekend after our mini wedding.
Oh.
Congrats.
Congrats again.
But since it was the night Joe Biden was announced as president-elect, we got too drunk to remember any paranormal activity.
That's okay.
Oh my gosh.
We understand.
Okay. So that's that hotel, which if you ever need a place to stay in Charlotte, go to the Dunhill Hotel and request room 906 or 401 and then write us an email.
Man. I'm going to make a phone call right after this.
I'm booking us
that room, baby.
Woo! Okay. The next thing that they wanted to tell us about is Charlotte's Satanic Church. Previously, I sent to you a story about an alleged satanic church in Charlotte, North Carolina.
The story
goes that off of Margaret Wallace Road, there is a black house with 13 steps into a lake where satanic rituals were performed. I would post this story every few months on my Instagram at SpookyCLT, y'all. Shout out.
Uh-huh.
And every time I did, more and more people would share their personal stories about the house or stories they heard growing up. It wasn't until November this year, so I believe this would be 2020, yep. So
yes.
Last year now, but that a woman commented on it, telling me the house belongs to her sweet grandmother.
Oh, my goodness.
Poor sweet grandma. She tagged a few of her friends, and they all agreed that their grandma was often terrorized by local teens snooping around her property at all hours of the night.
Damn grandma, it, teens!
Grandma has since passed, but lived in the house well into her 90s. They claimed their own cousins started the rumor in the 70s. You little brats!
You stinker butts.
Friendly reminder that I think you guys are the coolest, and I'm a proud turkey buzzard.
Aww. That warms so the cockles of my frozen cold heart.
Mine too. Oh, and there's a PS. Let me read you the PS.
Love a good PS.
A while back, I sent y'all a GoFundMe link about an abandoned cemetery on a main intersection in a popular area of Charlotte called South End.
Yes, I remember that too.
We were raising money to put a fence around an alleged slave cemetery that was overrun and commonly used by dogs from the new beige apartment complex that was recently built not 20 feet away. Though reaching out to local print newspaper Queen City Nerve, they were able to find the true history about the plot. Long story short, the cemetery was actually for the Schumann family who lived in the area during the Reconstruction era. The road that is next to the cemetery plot was once called Schumann Road. But when the city expanded it, they renamed it Remount Road and had to move multiple graves. They took away all the headstones and never put them back. This is why locals thought it belonged to enslaved people. The Schumann family still have descendants in Charlotte, and they actually helped us put up fences and were able to show us a picture of some of those buried there. A truly cool experience.
That is a truly cool experience. And then that's so awesome.
Stay spooky.
Always.
We stay spooky. That's interesting that they, it's like they didn't quite know what was going on with that cemetery for a little while.
Yeah. That's awesome. That is a great story. Very satisfying. Thank you for the bow on the present of that story.
Oh, and also, I'm just picturing a black house with 13 steps leading into a lake, and I love it. I'm on Zillow right now.
Trying to buy that house.
Okay, then you have another story, yeah?
I do have another story, and this one is from my sister, Caitlin.
Katesy!
And it is called, the title of the email, in all caps, Penetration, an Aquarian Symphony.
I love her. Oh my God. I do too.
All right, Katesy says, hey y'all. As I was listening to the episode about cults that have restaurants, I was reminded of a documentary I watched about the Source family. I think it's just called The Source Family. I watched it a while back while scrolling through some streaming service trying to find something that interested me. I love a good cult story, so I was hooked from the get-go. It must run in the family.
Yeah.
As I was watching and learning about Father Yode and his followers and thinking, damn, this dude looks familiar, I realized he was on the cover of a record I bought years before that, and that's because I bought an album by Yahweh 13.
Oh my gosh!
She said, oops.
Oopsie. Well, actually, not oops, because didn't you say they're rare and valuable?
They are rare. Apparently, they're a collector's item. Caitlin and Zach have a lot of records. They are record collectors. So this didn't necessarily surprise me, but it's pretty great. I love this. All right. She says, it's called Penetration. Ooh, gross. I hate that word as it relates to sex. That's a different conversation. That is a different conversation. We'll talk about it later, Caitlin. In the same way that I'm a sucker for a good cult story, I am also a sucker for a weird psychedelic cover of an album that contains music I've never heard, apparently. To be fair, Father Yode himself graces the cover in his wizard robe, long hair, playing the drums with some space art behind him, while the subtitle to the album is An Aquarian Symphony. I mean, how far down my specific Aquarian alley can you get? Damn! She and Hannah are Aquariuses.
She's an Aquarius. So. And your mom, too, right?
Yeah, actually, not to interrupt my sister's email, she won't care, but today, the day we're recording, it's my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday, Debbie!
Happy birthday, mother of the pod. We love you so much. You're incredible. I will never get over how amazing my mother is and continues to be. I'm going to stop before I start crying. Okay. So she said, specific Aquarian alley. Yeah. And I'm not using... Sorry, my sister's funny. And I'm not using, quote, my alley as a euphemism for vagina, although it would work well within a metaphor, seeing as how the title of the album is penetration. But I know that, but now that I know Father Yod is a giant douche nozzle, I will avoid any and all sexual references slash jokes to him and his cult. My alley, that's good. All right. Anywho, I've just flipped to side two of the record because, of course, I'm re-listening to this album while writing this email. It's weird and noisy, and I'm not good at describing music, and it sounds like one long song. There's no track names or numbers, so maybe it is. I think I kind of like it, and I think I'm embarrassed to admit that.
It's okay.
But my ego won't let me not point out that I bought the album before I knew he was a creepy cult leader, so please don't judge me.
Oh, never.
Caitlin, this is a judgment-free zone, first of all. Secondly, I would have bought it knowing it was a cult record, so you're cool.
That might have made me buy it after we did that episode. I'd be like, right? Oh my god, it's that thing we talked about.
I definitely would have bought it. Plus, it's not like they're getting the money. You just gave, like, a record nerd some money, and that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, okay. I love that, because I think at the when we talked about it, we said specifically, if y'all, any of y'all have this album, please write us an email.
Yeah, and it was my sister.
That's so funny.
So crazy. Okay, she said, ooh, there's some cool whistling happening now. The end of the album is the best part, and I don't mean that in the dad joke way. It actually is just the best. I love you both and I'm so proud of you.
Oh, Katie.
I can't believe the 100th episode is coming up. Y'all are the best. Love, Caitlin Adam.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you, Katie. We love you too, and we're also proud of you.
Yes, we are. Y'all, write us emails. We'll read them.
Obviously, we'll read them and we'll laugh a lot. Especially if you're as funny as my sister.
We'll have fun together, even though you're there and we're here. Oh, really quick. I didn't shout out the fun thing I'm wearing, even though yours is way more fun yet again. I've started trying to wear some of my favorite vintage items on the podcast, even though you can't see them.
I like it.
This is an old men's Nautica sweater from the 80s.
That is a definite dad sweater. Yeah.
I've really embraced dad sweaters this season. I don't know why.
I mean, it's sweater season, as they say. And you do make bad dad jokes. So
I
it's
do.
Appropriate.
So it's fitting. Y'all, anyway, write us about your weird cult albums or your bad dad sweaters at nonofthisisrealpodcast@gmail.com, please.
Yeah, is your town spooky? I mean, it's not going to be as spooky as Charlotte, but I'm sure it's spooky. Tell us your town spooky story, or two or three.
Please.
Did you have a synchronous moment? Did you have a Sarah Sinkhole moment? Or have you ever had a Doomsday Dimini moment?
Yeah, that could be anything.
I was just going to say that.
Please write us, and it would really help us out if you would rate and review on iTunes. I know everyone says that, but y'all, we could really use it. We would appreciate it. People could find us.
We would appreciate it.
Do that. Check us out on Patreon, and
yeah, we're gonna redo. We're gonna revamp some stuff coming up here soon.
Revamp some stuff. So if you go to Redbubble and you don't see our merch, then go to our website, and there will be a link to wherever you can find it, so that you can have some of our sweaters that make you have Sarah Sinkhole moments.
Yes, buy our magical merch.
Magical
Come
merch.
Come on.
And what else? Oh, thank you, Michaela
thank
De Leon.
Thank you, Michaela De Leon.
And Gil Davis.
And Gil Davis.
For the theme song.
For the theme song.
What are we doing?
I don't
think
know.
That's
I was
everything.
Trying to talk at the same time as you, but it didn't really work out.
It's hard to do over the phone. Y'all. Whatever you do, I just want to remind you that you don't have to believe anything that we just talked about.
Nope, you sure don't. But you do have to believe on yourself.
Please, please believe all over yourself.
Oh, please. Do it for us.
We just would love it so much. It would make our day.
Because we believe all over you. We love you.
Don't you feel it?
Do you feel it?
Oh, God. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Like that?
Oh, let's listen to it.
Yeah.